This morning we're going to go ahead and take a look at a passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is the Apostle Paul encouraging the Thessalonians about a work that God is doing in them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." So he's saying, God himself, the peace of God himself, "Now may the peace of God himself sanctify you completely, your whole spirit, soul, and body." Same passage in the Message. "May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it." So the Scripture is saying here, you know, God cares about your whole being, doesn't he? Spirit, soul, body. If you're to take an inventory of yourself, and an inventory of your existence here, you'll find you're a spirit being. Like somebody put it this way, I really love it. You are a spirit being. You have a soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you live in a physical body. Okay? So think of it like that. When the Scripture talks about, you know, sanctify you completely, your whole spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. You are a spirit being. All right? You are a spiritual being. There is a part of you that is absolutely eternal. You have a soul. Again, that's your mind, your will, and emotions. You can kind of point to your... I kind of like to do it like this. I am a spirit. Kind of point to my heart, my innermost being. I have a soul. That's my mind, my will, and emotions. And I live in a body. Okay? To kind of understand your makeup. And we're going to kind of get into a little bit more how spirit, soul, body interact and what all that means. But for right now, it's just suffice to say God cares about your entire being, spirit, soul, and body. In fact, the redemption of Christ on that cross impacts your entire being, spirit, soul, and body. There was an old you that when you came in contact with the cross turned you into a new you. Okay? Nowadays, it's very popular in TV shows to take an old room. Could be an old bathroom, you know, living room, kitchen, whatever. And the basic gist is this. They'll take the owner of that old bathroom, bedroom, whatever, and they'll send them away for a while. And then there will be some kind of a crew that'll come in, and they will clean up that old living room, all right? They'll put in fresh paint, maybe new flooring, new furniture, take out the old dated decor, put in the new stuff, and really just get it looking incredibly amazing. And then the exciting climax, conclusion of the whole show is that last 5 minutes when the owner comes back and they see their brand new bathroom. And it's like, ooh, you know, it's just, ah, wow, amazing. This is awesome. You know, it's pretty dramatic if you've watched some of those. Tears are shed. There's a lot of rejoicing, group hugs. It's just a wonderful thing. Julie isn't here, I can tell. All right, well. I liked the first 20 or so that I saw myself. But anyway, it's kind of that same scenario, right? You start with the old deal, you jazz it up, you come in, and ooh and ah, and that's really great and exciting. Well, there's a kind of a spin-off on that concept, I must say, that really, really did impact me, that really moved me, that really kind of got me engaged. And that was a certain TV series that came out that was called Extreme Makeover Home Edition. I don't know if you've seen that or not, but it's kind of a play on the same concept. And what they'll do is they'll find people who have been through some kind of really tragic situation in their life. Could be the loss of a loved one, could just be some kind of a circumstance that just wiped them out financially. You know, whatever the circumstance might be, it's just some kind of a tragic situation, and these people are in a financial dire straits. They're living in places that are really not that great at all. So it's kind of that perfect situation of where, you know, some really bad things have happened to some really good people. All right? And they'll literally have people write in the show. People can write in their own life story, or people will write in on behalf of other people. And then basically the network kind of goes through these different stories, and they'll select somebody. And when they select you, they come out to your place, and they literally destroy the old home, and they create a brand new home. And they will create it custom around the needs of that family. We're talking hundreds of thousands, I'm sure, up. There have been million, you know, at least, I would not be exaggerating to say they've spent over $1 million, if you've watched the show, to create some of these amazing homes. And you see these families who are just, you know, in a horrific situation to be blessed with this amazing new home. And again, it's kind of the same deal, where before they do this, they'll send that family out on a vacation, send them away. Could be Disneyland or something really amazing for about a week or so. And in the meantime, while they're off vacationing, you see all the construction crews come in, and they're, you know, rapidly building this amazing dream home in record time. But then when the family comes back to their dream home, the interesting thing is they come back, but their view of the dream home is obscured. It's obscured by this great big bus that they use for, I guess, traveling around the country, the staff. And so before this family can see their brand new dream home, they all have to say in unison the phrase. And yeah, bus driver. There, we've got a few watchers here, I can tell. You got to say it. You got to say, bus driver, move that bus. That bus is moved out of the way, and then the music starts in the background, and then you steer, and it's just amazing, and you're just like, wow. And I'll tell you, that has really been engaging. Because, you know, they walk you through the tragedy of this life, you know, of these families and things that they've been through, and the hopelessness of the situation, and then to be able to come in and provide something for them, to have a fresh start and a fresh opportunity, it's a pretty amazing thing. And then, of course, one of the powerful follow-throughs that they do with this is they'll contrast. You know, here's what their old living room looks like. Now's what their gorgeous new living room looks like. And you see the panoramic views of the camera just goes on and on and on. It's amazing. Or the old bathroom, bedroom set up and the new one and the kitchen. You know, it's just incredible, the contrasting of the old and the new. This morning, as we're talking about spirit, soul, body, your whole being, we're going to talk about a different kind of makeover. All right? The title of the message this morning is Extreme Makeover God Edition. Because when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got a makeover. You got an extreme makeover. Okay? And this is going to be a 3-part series. I don't do a lot of series. I only do a series if God really tells me to do a series. You've noticed if you've been coming around here very long. And God has put on my heart to do a series. Extreme Makeover God Edition. Spirit, soul, body. This morning, we're going to look at that extreme makeover as it relates to your spirit. As it relates to that person on the inside, who you are. What God has done in you. Next week, we're going to look at the soul. As it relates to the makeover. And the following week, we're going to look at the actual body as it relates to redemption's makeover on you. And I just want to say, too, kind of before we delve into this, that this is the stuff to me that absolutely changed my life. These truths about what God did for us in Christ is what drew me to the Word of Faith camp. It was not healing and prosperity. Those are just kind of secondary blessings, really. The main focal message of the faith message is who you are in Christ. When you get a revelation of that, having not spared his own son, delivered him up for us all, how shall we not freely with him give us all things? I mean, it's not even issues. Things that are controversial in the church shouldn't even be controversial when you know the character and the nature of God and what he's done for you in Christ. Really secondary stuff, benefits that you don't forget. But you got to have a divine perspective for some of that stuff to lose its controversy. You got to see the big picture. You got to see the big picture of what God has done for you in Christ. So, Extreme Makeover God Edition. We're going to see how what God did for you in Christ has extremely changed you. We're going to take a look at some before and after shots of you in your spirit man. We're going to look at what you look like before, and we're going to move that bus, and we're going to see what God did for you in Christ. Because he did something amazing, amazing for you. So we're going to start again this morning. We're just really going to be talking along the lines of the spirit man, that stream makeover. And the thing that I want to get across to you this morning is basically the overall fact that in your spirit, your spirit has been made over. All right? Your spirit man, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. This spirit part of you, it's been made over. The makeover is done. It's happened. All right? This isn't anything that you're doing or that you're trying to make yourself over or anything like that. The makeover that happened on the inside of you has been done. God did it. Now, first of all, we're going to look at, when we're talking about our spirit makeover, is we're going to get a quick snapshot, a photograph, literally, of who you are. So, the makeover has been done. The makeover of who you are. There's a couple facets that I want to talk about, the spirit makeover. First of all, there has been a makeover of who you are. Before you look like this, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others." Before the makeover, in your very spirit, you were by nature. You were by nature. You were by your innermost being a child of wrath. Or as verse 1 says, dead in trespasses and sins. Your innermost spiritual being was dead. The life of God was not in there. Okay? Another passage describing the before picture. "Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time, before, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's a pretty bleak picture. Dead in trespasses and sins, by nature a child of wrath, having no hope and without God in the world. Bus driver, move that bus. Now, therefore, if any man... Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We can see here clearly, verse 17, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old house has been torn down, and the new house has been put up. Think of it like that. Here's a couple other translations of that verse. The Amplified, "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come." New living. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And so we can see that when you became a Christian, praise God, you became brand new on the inside. You became a brand new person on the inside. Your spiritual being, the old, dead, spiritual person that you were, became brand new, became alive, became a new person. All things became new. So in other words, you are a brand new. The old, spiritual, dead you was demolished. The brand new you was created in Christ Jesus, was built. I love that word, you know, just the creation, a new, you see that word, you know, repeatedly. He's a new creation. You know, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. Okay? In other words, God didn't just renovate an old house. The old, it didn't say got renovated, it passed away. Behold, all has become new. Jesus put it this way when he was talking to Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. You must be born again, Nicodemus. He didn't say you must be reformed. He said you must be born again. A new birth. Becoming altogether brand new. He said that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. He's talking about that inward, inmost being. And I will say that this truth, again, this is the truth that has probably stabilized me more than any other, you know, revelatory truth I've received in the Word apart from the gospel and the salvation message of Jesus Christ, was the fact that what he did inside of me when I became a Christian is he made me brand new on the inside. He's made me a brand new creature, a brand new person inside. And for me, I remember hearing a tape series along this line, listened to it for about 6 months before I really believed it. It really dawned on my spirit and I saw it. And I remember walking the hall, the Spirit of God just dealing with me. I just remember in my head, you know, you're feeling condemned, beat up about stuff, weaknesses, flesh, whatnot, and thinking, well, that's just who I am. And the Spirit of God saying, no, you're a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you know your new creation in Christ Jesus has no problem with flesh? In fact, whenever you have yielded to the flesh, you've satisfied your flesh. You have not satisfied a new creation. Your inward man has never once been satisfied whenever you have ever yielded to the flesh. In fact, the Bible goes as far as to say in 1 John 3, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. You know what you perceive when you sin, when you miss it? Your own spirit saying, no, not compatible. New creation. That old has passed away. You, who you are on the inside, there's a problem with it, has an issue. Who you are. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. Now, I usually don't do this, but this morning, based on the subject matter, I'm going to pull out my new creation machine gun. Okay? What do I mean by that? You know, sake of time, whatever, but I'll tell you what. It's so important for you to know this, because this is all over the Word of God by various authors that God used the pen under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to get across the fact that you are a brand new person, a child of God. And so I'm just going to kind of, you can't probably read this print because it's so small, but that's the little bullets coming out after you, all right? I'm going to read them for you. It's my new creation machine gun. Here we go. 1 Peter 1:23. Peter, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Jesus, John 3:6. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. 1 John 3:1. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. Paul, Romans 8. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You cannot victim complex your way around the fact that you are a child of God. No matter how what your self-esteem is or your self-image, it does not escape the fact of the truth of Scripture. When you receive Christ, there is a miracle that took place in you. You were born of God. You were born again into a spiritual family where your very DNA is child of God. The Holy Ghost lives in you to tell you something. It talks to your spirit. If I was the Holy Ghost and this podium was my human spirit, it would be saying, you are a child of God, bearing witness. His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. What does it mean to bear witness? That means to say, amen, that's right, good, preaching, say it. It's bearing witness to truth. It's saying, yes, that's right. The Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. You're a child of God. That's why it's kind of hard to explain to people who don't understand spiritual things. How can you have an assurance of your salvation? Well, I believed in Jesus, and you know, but that's what the Scripture says. He says, if we'll receive the witness of man, 1 John 5, I believe it is, if you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. It's powerful. You receive the witness of the preaching of the gospel because the Spirit of God is drawing you. But when you receive it, there's a witness on the inside that takes place after that. That you know that you know that you know. And that's the witness that you stand by for the rest of your life. With that joy in your heart and that assurance of salvation. It's the witness of the Holy Ghost that happens on the inside of you. So it's important to realize, man, this stuff is real. Man, whether you feel like a new creation or not, whether you have the revelation of it or not, whether it seems too good to be true or not, it's still true. You are brand new in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. There is a makeover that God did in your spirit when you received Christ. We're so used to connecting our own sanctification. We're so used to connect living right with a change on the inside. Now, living right has value. We'll get to it next week. But you've got to understand something. That living right doesn't make you a new creation. It's the gift of God that makes you brand new. Absolutely. A free gift. A total renovation. In fact, you had no part. God didn't even consult with you at all when He made you brand new. He just did it all by Himself. He fashioned that new place completely. Chief architect of that new creation on the inside of you. But He did. He made you brand new. So, you know, one of the powerful things they'll do at the Home Edition, Extreme Makeover is they'll walk you through that new house and show you those different rooms, different chambers, different things like that are going on. Is it scriptural for us to be able to know what's in here, in this new creation? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? That's what we've been talking about. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We've received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In other words, it's God's will that we know the things that have been freely given to us by Him. He's given us His Spirit to reveal that to us. To make that real to us. Do you know what reveal means? Technically, if you want to get all Greeked out and stuff in the words, it means to unveil. If something is not revealed, it's still veiled. And you can argue about what might be under the veil, have theological disagreements and fussings, but the Spirit of God will unveil things, and He'll show you and make clear so you can see what's under the veil. That's what revealing does. It unveils truth. So if you could do a walkthrough of this new creation, we move that bus, but if you could walk through your human spirit, you would be amazed. Now, these are just a few things that are based. I don't have all the scriptures up there, but you know the scriptures should pop into your mind as I begin to say some of these things. If you were to tour this new creation, you would find righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. If you could just take a tour of the new creation, you would see a love that's been shed abroad in there. The love of God shed abroad in this new creation by the Holy Ghost. You would see chambers in that new creation where when you peek in there, you'd see God working in you to will and to do of His good pleasure, bringing things to your remembrance. You'd see gifts and abilities, talents that fashion you as a part and a member of the body of Christ. You would see rooms of good works He's ordained you to walk in, instructions. You would see vision of all the good things that God is going to use you to do in your life. You'd see Him leading and guiding you into all truth, and you would get to personally meet the person of the Holy Spirit who's living on the inside of you. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you know why your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Because your body is the temple of your human spirit. Your human spirit is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You understand that when you die, this physical body dies, the Holy Ghost and your spirit go together. Remember, Jesus said, when I send the Spirit of truth, He will abide with you forever. He's with you in your spirit. On the inside, these are spiritual truths. These are spiritual realities. This is not wishful thinking. This is not for your self-esteem. This is not to make you feel better about yourself. This is true. You can use it in a way that can make you feel better about yourself and feel better about yourself for a little bit. But when you get the revelation of it's true, it goes far beyond you feeling better about yourself and you beginning to take a stand for what's true. What's true. It's not based on how I feel. This is true regardless of how I feel. God wants you to know the makeover He has put on the inside of you. You are new. There is like a mansion on the inside of your very being. A new creation. Inside of you, those things are. Inside of you, those things reside. There's been a makeover of who you are. There's also been a makeover of where you are. A makeover of where you are. What do I mean by that? Well, this is something else that happened when you received Christ. This is something else that happened during the makeover. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. You know, some of this language I know can sound a little flowery, but this morning we're taking a really good look at every word and we are considering what it actually says. For giving thanks to the Father who He's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and He's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Here's the amplified version of verse 13. The Father's delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. When you got born again, when this makeover happened to you, it did two things to you. It qualified you and it translated you. It qualified you and it translated. We're going to get into what it means that He qualified you a little bit later. But right now I want to take a look at the fact He translated you, delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. You know, people have some interesting thoughts about God as it relates to His judgment in heaven and hell. A lot of times we get the impression that God is up there and when we die, kind of up there waiting and wondering what He's going to do with us when we die. How God is going to judge us when we die. Do you know that doesn't happen? No. God is not going to judge you for heaven or hell. You are simply going to go where you already are. Right now, at this very moment, you are either still in the power of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, or you are right now in the kingdom of His dear Son. You're in one place or the other right now. Your spirit's already there. Your spirit simply goes where it already is when your body dies. You understand? If right now you're in the kingdom of darkness, that's where you go when you die. Your spirit goes. If right now in your spirit you're in the kingdom of God's dear Son, that's where you go when you die. It's not a matter of God, you know, wondering what God's going to decide. He's wondering what you're going to decide. What are you going to decide? The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of God's dear Son? You understand? You have a spiritual condition right now. It's a condition. What receiving Christ does is it changes your location spiritually. It doesn't change your location geographically, but spiritually, you go from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You become brand new. In other words, when you become a child of God, the kingdom of darkness no longer has a claim over you. Love how the Amplified puts it. The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's what being born again. It's a makeover. It's not a makeover of who you are, but it's a makeover of where you are, where your spirit is. The decision is yours to make. Actually, the decision's already been made. If you haven't made that decision, you can make that decision today. It's as simple as a decision. You can't work your way. You can't do enough good works to work your way from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You can't work your way from there to here. You got to get delivered from there to here. You got to be translated from there to here. And that's why we give thanks to the Father. That's the value and the significance of the cross. You see, our politics of heaven and hell down here mean nothing. They mean nothing. You can be a good guy. I don't even believe there is a hell. It's just all heaven. And I just love everything. And God, you know, do you understand? You can gain the approval of the whole world and still lose your soul. You can have everybody like you, but it won't get you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Our politics down here of heaven and hell mean nothing. They mean it's all about feelings and about human approval. The grace of God resists the arrogance of human approval. But for the man or the woman who will humble themselves as a little child and recognize their own sinful condition, no excuses, and call upon the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the gospel message. That causes the grace of God to transfer somebody from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And now I'm in His family. I'm on His turf. I'm in His kingdom. This is where I belong. Not because people really like me and they think I'm nice and that, you know, has nothing to do with what people think. It has to do with, what do you do with Jesus? What do you do with the gospel? What do you do with Jesus? He said it. He said it. He was in, remember, we were taking communion in Gethsemane. He said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. What was He saying? If there's any other way to translate somebody from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, let this cup pass from me. Heaven was silent. There was no other way. That makeover makes over where you are. It makes over where you are, my goodness, and automatically without your own works, without your goodness, without the satisfaction of comparing yourselves. Well, those Christians, I'm better than those Christians, and all, means nothing. My works are better than their works, and so, you know, it means nothing. It's a gift of God. You understand? All your works, no matter, if you get in the comparison contest, you're going to lose. You need grace. You need forgiveness. You think, oh man, so you're one of those who just thinks that, you know, you just believe on Jesus and you're good enough to go to heaven? Yeah. Yeah. I do. But it's even much worse than that. It's a lot worse than that. Not only do I believe that I'm good enough to go to heaven, I believe in you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Not your sight. Not how you judge me or categorize me or pigeonhole me or have me figured out. This speaks to the qualifying work of the new creation. Remember when it says He qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance? That's what it looks like to be qualified. That new creation on the inside of you thoroughly qualified you. Wow. Holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. You understand? I'm not there because I had a good day. You can't help enough old ladies across the street to get there. The comparison games have to be over. The politicizing of heaven and hell have to be over. I mean, this is the year of politics, obviously an election year. And, you know, the demonizing and the motive is, and it's just like, you know, one party can't do no right, the other party can't do no wrong. And it's just like, it's partisan. The wisdom that's from above is without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's full of mercy, good fruits. So when the Apostle Paul said, if you have strife and bitter envy in your heart, that word strife means partisan. It's a party spirit. It's a factious party spirit. You've got to be aware of that stuff. Right down here, it's very popular to talk about the politics of heaven and hell. Here, you don't get there. You don't get from there to here by your good works. You don't get from there to here by your politics. You get there because you were born again. You're standing in the presence of a holy God, and he's probing you with all of his omniscience, power, omnipotent, whatever, just everything that he's got. And he comes to the conclusion that there is no cause. He can find no cause for reproach when he looks through you. Again, this speaks of the qualifying work of the new creation. It isn't just that I'm good enough to go to heaven when I die. I'm good enough to partake of the divine inheritance. I can be around the throne of grace. Praise God. Now, and this is why it's just so foolish to get into... it's so foolish to get into comparison and what you do and, you know, that I'm better than so-and-so and da-da-da-da-da. No, it has nothing to do with that. The only thing that it has to do with are, have you humbled your heart to receive the grace of God? No boasting on that day. There will be no boasting. You'll be in that position, but there will not be a bit of boasting about you. But there will be a lot of gratitude when you're right there. Because when you're right there, you're going to be around the throne of grace. And that's where you're joining that future chorus that we get a glimpse of in Revelation. Blessing and glory and honor and power to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. For you have redeemed us to God by your blood. You made us kings and priests. We're in that condition and we know how we got there. We had a makeover. We had a makeover of our location. It's where you are in the Spirit. You are, beloved, now you are a child of God. Why? Because you got born again. You got born again into that family. Now, I want to kind of say this too as we'll close right now. It's important to understand, and I'll just bring out the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:13. It says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Okay? This is not natural reasoning. This is what wisdom that the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what we've been doing this morning. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's very important for you to understand and to have some humility about you when it comes to these truths as it relates to dealing with people who would fall into that category of the natural man. Right? There's stuff you know. There's stuff you understand because you have the Spirit of God. Natural men without the Spirit of God don't know the things that you know because they don't have the Spirit of God. And as you stand appalled at the natural man for just not seeing the truth, you got to remember you're not as smart as you think you are. If I could take the Holy Ghost out of you right now, it would change a lot about your theology, a lot about your politics, a lot of things would change. You think you just figured it out. You think you've grown to a place where you got it reasoned. You have no idea as a Christian, if you've walked with the Lord for any amount of time, how much you depend on the witness of the Holy Ghost. You have no idea how vulnerable you are without the Holy Ghost in you. It's very important to realize you have the Holy Spirit. He'll bear witness. If I could take him out of you right now and a question or something came up, you don't even realize how instinctive, if there was just nothing there, no sense. You are back to that position spiritually without hope and without God in the world. You just get nothing. And all you could do is grasp at natural things. Do people like me? Do people like me? Do I seem extreme? Do I seem like I'm a Jesus-only person? Do I do that? I'm broad-minded. You have to grasp to something in the natural to feel good about, to have something to talk to spiritual things about. But you don't have anything solid. You don't have the Holy Ghost in you. You're back to grasping at natural stuff to understand spiritual truths. And this is why there's kind of a distinct advantage that you can see in the Scripture here between a spiritual man and the natural man. A spiritual person has a distinct advantage over a natural person. You see, because a spiritual person knows where the natural man's coming from, because you've been there. But the natural man does not know where the spiritual person's coming from, because he hasn't been where you are. Oh, he's got a political group, he's got a satire, he's got a picture with all these pictures that he'll associate with you, but he doesn't know. He doesn't know what it's like to have the Holy Ghost in him. And it's very important when you are, especially this time of year, I'm saying it, because this is a political time of the year and everybody's up in arms, depending their worldview. But I'm just going to say this. Christians are not in the world versus, it's not Christian versus sinner. We are here to reach sinners. It's not us versus them, it's us reaching them. You understand? This is all going to be over in a vapor. Your mission here is to reach them. Your mission here is to reach out with the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I challenge you this morning. Make sure your wisdom is from above. Make sure that it's not from a party factious spirit. Make sure it's a wisdom that reaches out in love and compassion. If you know a person just doesn't know certain things or doesn't have the Spirit of God in them, man, just remember what you'd be like without that. And show the same compassion for that person that you would want somebody to show you if you were in their condition. Would you have won you with an argument? No. You see, even though that person doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them, they do have the Holy Spirit drawing them. They're drawing them to Christ, drawing them to a place of decision. And what you want to do is work with the Holy Ghost in drawing somebody. And your message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is not that homosexuality is a sin. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that there was a man named Jesus who died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago. God loves you, and as many will call upon his name, believe on him, you'll have eternal life. Receive life and strength. You know, praise God. If somebody would have tried to reach me, try to get me saved through politics, I'd have never gotten saved. That's amazing. You can just about, you can dress things up in conservative clothing. You can dress things up in liberal clothing. And you know, liberal conservatives is not the determinant between truth and error. Some people think that's all it is. If it's liberal, in some of our circles, they think if it's liberal, it's error. If it's conservative, it's true. You don't even need the Holy Ghost. You can throw your Bible away. All you got to do is watch the talking heads. And if it seems liberal, it's wrong. If it seems conservative, it's true. That's really safe and easy for our flesh, isn't it? Requires no spiritual discernment. That's wrong. There are liberal things that are true, that are genuinely compassionate and merciful. There are conservative things that are wrong, that are truly judgmental, critical, and harsh, and not representative of the Spirit of God. You don't have the easy way of just discerning liberal conservative. You have to walk hand in hand with God. You got to stay connected in the vine. You got to have the Spirit of truth discerning what's true and what's error. God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God did not send the church into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through the church might be saved. We've got to keep our spirit right. We've been made over. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when you're interacting with people who haven't experienced the makeover that you have. Man, it should be an invitation. A good thing. It's not, I'm made over and you're not. No, praise God. He loves you. And there is grace and love for you too. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, your truth. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. We're so glad, Lord, that you've not left us comfortless, but you've given us the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We're so thankful that we can know truth. We can know it by the power of the Spirit, by the power of your Word. And I just pray for each one here this morning. As we've experienced that makeover, we're so appreciative, so thankful for the fact that we're brand new on the inside. We didn't do it. You didn't consult with us. All you asked was one thing, that we call upon your name. That was our part. And you did your part, which was everything else. You made us a new creation. You demolished the old. You custom constructed a brand new human spirit on the inside of each one of us. Oh, customed for our gifts, our callings, for the place you've called us to function in the body of Christ. Customized. We're amazed, Lord, at the incredible love that you've shown us. Not only made us new, but you've made over our very location in the Spirit. We're no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness. We are transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are in heaven now. These bodies are just holding us back for a few years, but we're there. Praise God. Because we've been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Not by the will of man, but of God. Oh, Father, we thank you that now we are the children of God. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith, if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for making me new. I am new right now. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I can see it, believe it, identify with it. I'm a new person now. I'm born again. Thank you for this makeover in my spirit. Heavenly Father, today is my day. The day I call upon your name. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.